What?
Gabrielle looked astounded by this. Marjorie Tench? An awful creature, Harper thought, nodding.
She and the administrator sat me down and told me my mistake had quite literally put NASA and the president on the brink of total collapse.
Miss Tench told me about the senator's plans to privatize NASA. She told me I owed it to the president and space agency to make it all right. Then she told me how. Gabrielle leaned forward. Go on. Marjorie Tench informed me that the White House, by sheer good fortune, had intercepted strong geologic evidence that an enormous meteorite was buried in the Milne ice shelf. One of the biggest ever. A meteorite of that size would be a major find for NASA. Gabrielle looked stunned. Hold on. So you're saying someone already knew the meteorite was there before Pods discovered it?
Yes.
Pods had nothing to do with the discovery. The administrator knew the meteorite existed. He simply gave me the coordinates and told me to reposition Pods over the ice shelf and pretend Pods made the discovery. You're kidding me. That was my reaction when they asked me to participate in the sham. They refused to tell me how they'd found out the meteorite was there, but Miss Tench insisted it didn't matter and that this was the ideal opportunity to salvage my Pods fiasco. If I could pretend the Pods satellite located the meteorite, then NASA could praise Pods as a much-needed success and boost the president before the election. Gabrielle was awestruck. And of course, you couldn't claim Pods had detected a meteorite until you'd announced that the Pods' anomaly detection software was up and running. Harper nodded.
Hence the press conference lie. I was forced into it. Tench and the administrator were ruthless. They reminded me I'd let everyone down. The president had funded my Pods project. NASA had spent years on it. And now I'd ruined the whole thing with a programming blunder.
So you agreed to help?
I didn't have a choice. My career was essentially over if I didn't. And the reality was that if I hadn't muffed the software, Pods would have found that meteorite on its own. So it seemed a small lie at the time. I rationalized it by telling myself that the software would be fixed in a few months when the space shuttle went up. So I would simply be announcing the fix a little early.
Gabrielle let out a whistle. A tiny lie to take advantage of a meteoric opportunity. Harper was feeling ill just talking about it.
So, I did it. Following the administrator's orders, I held a press conference announcing that I'd found a workaround for my anomaly detection software. I waited a few days, and then I repositioned Pods over the administrator's meteorite coordinates. Then, following the proper chain of command, I phoned the EOS director and reported that Pods had located a hard-density anomaly in the Milne ice shelf. I gave him the coordinates and told him the anomaly appeared to be dense enough to be a meteorite. Excitedly, NASA sent a small team up to Milne to take some drill cores. That's when the operation got very hush-hush.
So you had no idea that the meteorite had fossils until tonight?
Nobody here did. We're all in shock. Now everyone is calling me a hero for finding proof of extraterrestrial bioforms. And I don't know what to say.
Gabrielle was silent a long moment, studying Harper with firm black eyes. But if Pods didn't locate the meteorite in the ice, how did the administrator know the meteorite was there?
Someone else found it first.
Someone else? Who? Harper sighed.
A Canadian geologist named Charles Brophy, a researcher on Ellesmere Island. Apparently, he was doing geologic ice soundings on the Milne ice shelf when he by chance discovered the presence of what appeared to be a huge meteorite in the ice. He radioed it in, and NASA happened to intercept the transmission.
Gabrielle stared. But isn't this Canadian furious that NASA is taking all the credit for the find?
No,
Harper said, feeling a chill. Conveniently, he's dead.